This morning, we begin a series looking at hospitality and our call as Christians to welcome the stranger among us. So we begin with a scripture from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 10. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves. And after that, you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, two stories and an interlude about how in welcoming others, we find ourselves transformed. First, there's the story of Abraham and Sarah. We're picking up Abraham and Sarah's story in the middle of it in the scripture this morning. A lot has already happened to them. Abraham and Sarah have been called by God. They've been told that despite being childless and elderly, that one day they are going to have descendants that are going to outnumber the stars in the sky. They get tired of waiting for the promise of a child, and so Abraham has a child with his slave Hagar, who they name Ishmael. Then God again promises Abraham and Sarah a child, despite how old they are. And yet, here we pick up in the story, and they are still waiting. It actually seems like a pretty normal day in the life of Abraham and Sarah. But isn't it often those pretty normal days that just seem ripe for something to happen? Abraham is sitting outside his tent when he sees three strangers standing near him. Now, there are a few options here of what Abraham could do. He could have ignored the strangers. He could have tried to attack them, although that would have probably been rough. It would have been three against one. He could have hidden from them. But he doesn't do any of those things. Instead, he runs to meet them, bows to them to show them honor, and tells them he wants to provide them with water so that they can wash their feet, a resting place under the tree, and a little bit of bread to eat. Abraham chooses welcome. There he is, sitting ready in his heart to welcome these strangers. You see, there had to be some sort of readiness already at work in Abraham for him to approach the strangers in this way. He had to have his heart in the right place, looking for opportunities to welcome others. And then he takes a risk. There's always a risk when it comes to hospitality. Anytime there's welcome, there's a risk on the part of the host. In Abraham's case, the guests might have been dangerous, or they might have rejected his offer to stay and be welcomed. They might be people who Abraham doesn't get along with or agree with. And yet, Abraham takes that risk. He goes and he finds Sarah and asks her to make cakes. And then Abraham goes and finds a calf and has it prepared. He shows back up to the strangers, not just with the water and the bread that he had promised, but with cakes and curds and milk and a calf. And look, all of this is a nice and feel-good story of why we should be welcoming people. But it's also only part of the story. Because something else happens after these strangers have been welcomed and fed. The strangers, they make the same pronouncement that God has been making time and time again to Abraham and Sarah. One of the strangers tells them that he will return to them at some point in the future, and that when he does, Sarah will have a son. And with this pronouncement, the whole encounter changes. This story, it's no longer about what great hosts Abraham and Sarah are. Now this story is about how Abraham and Sarah have been transformed by these guests. In some ways, this promise has become so ridiculous to them that we're told later in the scripture that Sarah laughs when she hears it. I can so easily imagine Sarah overhearing these words from the tent and laughing, like, "Oh, sure, this promise again. How many times are we going to hear this?" And then maybe in her soul, that twinge of hope pops up again. Maybe in her laughing, there's a little bit of this thought that perhaps God really could do the impossible, that her life might be different the next time the strangers appear. Sarah, she feels it, that hope, that possibility, that difference. Abraham, he feels it too, that hope, that possibility, that difference. Abraham and Sarah thought that they were the ones that were offering hospitality and welcome. They thought that they were the ones who were going to do all the impacting. Instead, like so often happens in hospitality, it all gets flipped. Suddenly, they're welcomed into the possibility of what God is doing in their lives. Suddenly, they're the ones who've been impacted. Suddenly, they find that they are the ones who have been transformed. When the dust settles, when all is said and done and the strangers leave, it's actually Abraham and Sarah who find themselves changed. That's the story of Abraham and Sarah. Now a brief interlude. When we talk about welcoming and hospitality, when we discuss this idea of being host and guest and all that goes along with it, as Christians, we always do it in a gospel-centered way. It can be easy for us to be distracted by what we know of hospitality outside the church, to think about cultural expectations of welcome and belonging. We think that welcoming others is what good people do, and so we should be good people and do it too. Or even more alarming, perhaps, we start to look at welcoming in a purely transactional way. We welcome people to try to get something from them. We welcome people to church because we want more people to be at church. We offer food to somebody because we hope that maybe one day they might repay the favor. But that's not gospel-centered hospitality. Gospel-centered hospitality starts with the belief that we welcome others because we have been welcomed by God. We have a God who, out of great love and grace for his beloved children, has welcomed us into relationship with him. We have a God who makes space for us, even when we're messy and broken people. We have a God who makes space for us to be forgiven and saved. As Christians, we know welcome and hospitality because we know Christ. We know what it means to be welcomed. I took a class on this type of gospel-centered hospitality when I was in seminary. It was my last semester of seminary, and to be honest, I was looking for something easy, and I thought, hospitality, that sounds nice. Like, I can do that for 3 hours a week. It was taught by our seminary dean. It was the only class she taught. She literally wrote a book on the topic that we read and discussed. In her book, she writes, "Gospel hospitality is God's welcome, a welcome that is deep and wide. Gospel hospitality is God's welcome into a new way of seeing and living. Ultimately, gospel hospitality is God's welcome into abundant life, into God's own life. As we participate in gospel hospitality, God's welcome becomes a way of life that we share with the world. Gospel hospitality welcomes strangers, not just into the church, but into God's life. Always, always, it's God's welcome that we offer." Okay, end of interlude, and on to the second story of how in welcoming others, we find ourselves transformed. This is the story of us, of all of us, of our church. Because the truth is, in so many ways, this is already happening here. We just don't necessarily talk about it in this way. Because there are countless stories about how you all have welcomed strangers. How on just a normal day, there you were living your life, and you encountered somebody new. It happens when those of you load up the blue bus on Wednesday evening and travel to the near west side to serve meals, but also to provide that God-centered welcome to those who stop by the bus. It happens on Friday nights at Recharge, when you make room for children with special needs, to get to know them as God's beloved children, when you ready the space, and you ready the patience and love in your hearts. It happens with Stephen ministers and care ministers, when you visit or call somebody new, or take the risk to walk alongside somebody who's going through a crisis. It happens with Kids Hope mentors, who listen weekly to what's important in the life of an elementary school child, who enter into that world and provide welcome to a child who has struggled in school or with friends or in their home lives. It happens with Royal Family Kids Camp and Camp Confidence, when you make signs of welcome for kids getting off a bus or out of a car, and you take the risk that even when you don't know what you might face during that week, you're going to do your best to offer love and grace to a child or youth who's been impacted by the foster care system. It happens here in worship on Sundays and after, when you invite somebody to join you in the cafe for a cup of coffee, when you shift your seat over so someone else can have room, when you're ready with a welcome and a smile and a hello. And it happens in countless other moments and days when you, as those who have experienced God's welcome in your life, are willing and ready to risk a welcome to someone else in Christ's name. And look, just like Abraham and Sarah, all of this is nice and a feel-good story of why we should be welcoming people, but it's also only part of the story. Because something else happens after we welcome these strangers and guests. This story, it isn't about what great hosts we are or how amazing we are at offering hospitality to others. This story, it's about how we too have been transformed by our guests. It's about how those of you who go out on the blue bus have been transformed to see your guests as beloved and dignified children of God. And you seek to treat them that way, from the interactions you have, to the meals you prepare, to the clothes you give, because you've been changed in how you view those you serve. It's about how those of you on Friday nights at Recharge worked to design a space that was most welcoming to children with special needs, because you've been transformed with a passion for inclusion for all of those with differing abilities to be able to experience the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about Stephen ministers and care ministers who've told me over and over again that they've been inspired and encouraged and prayed for and changed by the people they walk with as they become more compassionate and empathetic. It's about Kids Hope mentors who find themselves looking up activities or what their kid is into or strategizing how best to help their kid because they've been changed by those relationships. It's about Royal Family Kids Camp and Camp Confidence volunteers who've been changed by these children and youth to the point where we keep saying, what's the best way we can support the foster care system? And how can we mentor these kids and walk with them as they move into adulthood? Not because we know the answers or know what's best, but because we've had our eyes open to the challenges that they face in the foster care system. It's about what happens here on a Sunday morning when you meet somebody new and don't treat them like another person to fill a chair, but a beloved child of God. And you learn and grow in getting to know them and their story. And it's about all those moments in life when you've welcomed a stranger and been a host, only to find yourself transformed. We all feel it, that hope, that possibility, that difference. We thought we were the ones offering hospitality and welcome. We thought we were the ones that were going to go out and do the impacting. Instead, like so often happens in hospitality, it all gets flipped. Suddenly, we're welcomed into the possibility of what God is doing in our lives. Suddenly, we're the ones who've been impacted. Suddenly, we're the ones who have been transformed. When the dust settles, when all is said and done, and the strangers leave, it's actually us who find ourselves changed. Let us pray. God of grace and welcome, you have welcomed us as your beloved children. You've made room for us. Lord, as we seek to make room for others, as we seek to offer your good news of Christ to others, may we too have our hearts open to being transformed again and again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.